This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's right, you are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Welcome one and all. My name is Tim Nicholson. I'm very, very excited to have your company on this gigantic day in motorsport history. It is Bathurst Day, of course, for the people that don't know. It's the great race in this country. It stops a nation, probably a little bit less than that horse race, but we've got some wonderful people here to talk about it. Boys, we've got some boys in the studio. Mike McLeish. Do you know why I always have nearly said that? Because an actor called Mike McLeish, and I get confused. It's clearly Brian McLeish and Mike Costello. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, Tim.
Is a good name, though.
It is, isn't it?
I got to say, I'm a little disappointed.
You're just tying yourself into me.
That's true. Trying to link in.
Poor.
I'm disappointed not to see you in your Ford singlet and your best flanno. Or you, would it be a Holden singlet?
Oh, my God.
Are you a Holden man?
Yes. Oh. You're wrong. I'm Ford.
Yes.
He's Holden.
Neither of you are in your flannos and your thongs. You're not getting into the Bathurst spirit.
Because we're not Bogans.
This is the Bathurst spirit. It's the day.
I just came from a Bathurst barbecue.
Did you?
I did. I had a couple of sausage rolls.
Excellent. Was there a Bain Marie?
No, there was a barbecue going. I might have had a couple of wines.
You can tell.
I don't know if we'd wear... are the gays going to wear a Ford and a Holden kind of thing as well?
No, that's the other thing.
It's really
just the colour of the car.
Ooh, a blue one.
Exactly.
It's a shiny one.
But we will be talking, obviously, a lot about Bathurst today, looking back at the history of Bathurst, but also finding out what's been happening today.
We are in the very, very closing stages. There's only one lap to go and it's...
What the heck?
Indeed, it's caught up on us. We're right at the end. Looks like we've got Garth Tander just holding on by the skin of his teeth.
That's GT to all the listeners out there. GT, that's what the fans call
him. Mr. Tander, ahead of Craig Lowndes, a fast finishing Craig Lowndes.
That's Smiles Magoo.
Indeed. Smiles Magoo.
Is that his real name?
It is.
Wow.
I always thought of him as Mr. Eyebrows, but Smiles Magoo.
Yeah, he is.
He's
smiles
very smiley.
He does like to smile.
This is a bit exciting, isn't it, then?
It looks like an extremely dramatic finish. It's a 1,000-kilometre race, and it's coming down to a matter of seconds, not even seconds.
No rain either, which was disappointing.
There was a tint of rain. There was a little bit.
Yeah, but there was no crashing.
Well, this way you're wrong.
There was
no,
a
not
bit.
With the rain crashing. It wasn't like, you know...
That was a wrong choice of words. We're talking about a motor race crashing. Anyway, look, we will be back, and I think by the time we come back, we might have a winner.
I think we will.
Which is very exciting. So we will announce to you people at home, who you may be watching on the telly anyway, but we're going to announce it anyway.
I reckon it'll be Garth Tander.
Really?
I do.
Let's play a song, shall we?
I think so. I think that's a good idea. Lots coming up on the show. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. That's right. Work it, Kelly Rowland. You work it. I don't know what else she does these days, but that was a good song a couple of years ago. That was Work by Kelly Rowland.
I have to protest at your choice of music.
That's true.
You are not alone. You are not alone.
There will be some people out there dancing to that song right now.
Mm-hmm. Not anymore, because the song's finished.
Well, that's true. If they're still dancing and there's bigger problems out there than that. You are listening to Fender Bender. You're on Joy 94.9. It's Bathurst Day. We've got lots to talk about. But before we get into the Bathurst stuff, Mike, lots of stuff going on, of course, in the motoring world this week.
I'm just reading the...
Who won?
The end of the Bathurst live feed. And it looks like...
Tell us.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. Tander.
I think I called that. Tander. I think I called that earlier on.
I think you did. I think you're right. It looks like he has held on to just narrowly pip Craig Lowndes and Mark Scaife.
Tander and Percat. Oh, yes. That's poorly done written there.
Indeed.
Though. Whoever did that on that feed.
We need a bloody TV in the corner so we can be watching this.
It's community
but
radio.
No, it looks... Congratulations to Garth Tander. This is the news of the day. It looks like he's taken out...
Garth Tander. Woo!
He's won a couple at Bathurst now. I think it's three or four.
He has won a few. Yeah, GT has been on the podium a couple of times.
He's in the pantheon of the real elite elite drivers now, isn't he? He's got
He's won a lot of races.
He has indeed.
And so he's just, for the people out there that might not know, he's a Holden. He drives a Holden. What's his team?
HRT.
Oh, so he's the Holden Racing team.
Yeah, Holden Racing team, indeed.
So is that different to Vodafone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I get confused because they're both red.
Very similar. Very similar.
Easily confused him. Both
Vodafone
red.
Picked up second.
Ah.
Vodafail. Yes. So Vodafail.
Smiles Magoo came up second.
Yeah. Oh, Lounsey, did he?
Lounsey.
Oh, I like him.
And Scafie.
And Scafie.
Anyway, we'll come back to that because I've got to have a chat about Scafie. But anyway, yes. What else is going on apart from this race?
Well, Datsun is what's going on.
I beg your pardon.
That's right.
Datsun. I love a news story with Datsun.
Well, you know how Nissan have... Well, Nissan once were Datsun, and it's still a legendary kind of name. Well, they've gone for the Infiniti road for their more sort of pricey, luxurious vehicles, and there's a report coming out of the UK talking about the fact that they're considering bringing the Datsun nameplate back from the dead, dusting the cobwebs off it, and making it for developing markets in, you know, India and parts of Asia, at least.
Australia.
Well, hopefully.
I'd love it.
Who wouldn't want the return of the Datsun nameplate, the 240Z and the 1600, and let's just not bring the 120Y back, but we could...
I'd buy it just for shits and giggles, I'll be honest with you.
What about a Stanza?
Ooh, a Stanza. I haven't seen... Oh, a 200B.
Yeah?
Yeah.
My nan had a Stanza. It was a bloody good car.
It is a bit of a nana car.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But I'm extremely excited by this news because, you know, Nissan's Nissan, but Datsun's such a legendary brand. It's got so much weight attached. My favourite car of all time is the 260Z, so for me, this is a huge thing.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, this is not official. It's reports, but let's keep an eye on it, and hopefully this happens.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yay, that's, that.
What go else has been happening? Speaking of Japanese or legendary Japanese vehicles, the Honda NSX. I'm sure both of you are very...
I think they killed that, didn't they?
They did kill it, and we have talked about Honda in a not entirely, you know, nice way at times, but...
True.
There was a whisper coming out of the recent Frankfurt show. They were considering bringing back the NSX, this supercar. For those of you who don't know, the NSX was Honda's Ferrari killer. It was an amazing supercar that was the best out there, and it was relatively cheap for what it was. It was an incredible car.
Except anyway, it wasn't.
Excuse me?
It wasn't.
Cheap. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, why didn't they sell more of them?
Because it had a Honda badge.
Exactly.
But it was a good car. It was a good car.
Defence rests, your
honor. Oh, wowzers.
You're so argumentative today. You're grumpy when you're hungover. No, well, anyway, Honda was saying they're probably going to bring it back. Anyway, there's the new Avengers movie, which is the big, massive superhero movie they're making at the moment. Anyway, in America, there's a Honda sub-brand called Acura.
Yes.
And there's an Acura supercar that Robert Downey Jr. is driving in these shots of escape from behind the scenes in a movie.
Because he's Iron Man in that, that's
he
right.
He is indeed. Yep. Mm. And this Acura looks a lot like what an NSX would look like. So there is speculation that this could be at least an idea of what the NSX is. It's not proof that it is going to happen, but it looks quite likely. And
wowzers.
I think we'll have to put a picture of it up on the old
Facebook.
Yeah,
let's
do that. Yeah, this is really good news. It's like the return of two Japanese legends, possibly.
At the same time. Just on a side note, is Acura their luxury arm? It doesn't seem to be as prestigious as like Lexus is to Toyota. Sport.
It's not like Infiniti or Lexus. Yeah. It's sort of half sporty, half performance. I mean, it's probably
like anything with R after it in the normal.
It's like
car
what
market.
Opel will be to Holden.
So Opel, not, sorry.
Opel. But yeah, you know, so like a little bit better maybe, but not like an entirely class up, I suppose.
Yeah.
As far as I know,
quite a different strategy to Lexus and all that kind of thing. Okay.
Add Thank 5 you. Grand.
Hmm?
It's an add 5 grand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not much.
Hmm.
Do they sell anything here as a Honda that was an Acura?
I think
in the
old Integra, which I don't do anymore, but I think that was an Acura.
Yeah, right.
I'm not 100% sure. But on a theme,
we've
got a bit more Nissan news. There is a car in the UK called the Juke. It never came here. It's not going to come here. It's this wacky little tiny SUV. It looks, well... interesting. You either love it or you hate it, but it's certainly not dull. They have shoved the drivetrain of the amazing GTR supercar, the big the big 3.8 litre twin turbo V6 with heaps of power, and they've put it in a Juke for a one-off concept.
Right.
Which is pretty cool, I think.
Just
there's not really any reason to do it. Yeah. But, you know, bless them for doing it.
Bless their cotton socks,
guys. This is an amazing looking little car. I know you've seen it, Tim, and you've been talking about it.
Yes. I kind of thought it was really weird at first, and now I actually think it's quite cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Well, I don't know, like, because you think of the possibilities. It's going to weigh less than a GDR, and the GDR is one of the quickest cars in the world. Just imagine a little four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
It could be supercar quick.
That's crazy.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Until it went around a corner and flipped.
Well, there is that.
That could be
awkward. That is always a danger.
Sorry to bring you down, boys, but that's
just
how
just,
I said
thanks. You're like a dart of realism to the balloon of my fantasies. That was a strange
been called
euphemism,
worse.
Wasn't it?
I like
it,
though. How are we? We will have to go away for a minute and come back shortly.
Cool.
That was
sharp.
Professional of me, wasn't
sharp,
it?
Gentlemen.
You're listening to Fender Bender on Joey 94.9. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You know what? I need
Happy
a sign.
Music.
I need a sign that says, turn the freaking iPod off, Tim.
We would sound a lot cooler if we had a bit of Strokes just in the background. Really,
just all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have
you know,
to do
like,
that.
You know, like, you're walking along with your iPod in and you kind of...
That's true.
Adds like a level.
Pretending
that.
It's the early 90s when that... Early noughties, rather, when the Strokes were amazingly cool. But they still are a bit...
Well,
but look, you are with us. We have been talking Bathurst. We're going to talk more Bathurst. But before we do that, we're very excited to have a very wonderful guest, Nathan Ponchard. Thank you very much for being here.
No worries. Hi, everyone.
Now, Nathan is a motoring journalist, a man about town, some might say. Maybe they don't. But a huge amount of knowledge about cars, of course. Now, you're writing at the moment for Unique Cars, is that right?
Yep, I'm the editor of Unique Cars.
Editor, even better. Fantastic. Now, that's obviously a very interesting publication and a little bit different to a lot of the other publications because of the focus. How long have you been with those guys?
I moved to Melbourne from Sydney last August, and so 14 months.
Okay.
And it is different to everything else because it has car content and classifieds, and I can't really think of any other magazine globally that does the same thing.
Mm. And where had you in Sydney? What were you doing? Were you in this industry still?
Yeah, with ACP. I was the deputy editor of Motor for 4 years, and I worked for Wheels for 5 years before that.
Oh,
so
right.
It was my disappear off to the boondocks and prove I can be in charge.
Ah, right. Has it worked?
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. Awesome. Playing with old cars is great.
That's fantastic. And is that have you been into that kind of thing since you were a kid? Like a lot of us have all been kind of car nuts since we were kids, really. Were you like that as well?
We were talking about that the other night, and I can't pinpoint how it managed to happen. It just was there. You know, someone else was saying that none of their brothers were into it, their parents didn't care about cars, but they were born knowing that they loved them, and that was absolutely how it was for me. I would have just pestered my parents and my grandparents and everyone wanting to talk about it, because in a beach town, cars weren't cool. So it was my own personal passion.
I see. That'd be all about surfing and stuff, I guess, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was having a cool Kingswood and trashing it and letting it rust and moving on to the next... Shitty.
Wow, yeah.
Rusting did come naturally at Kingswood, it must be said.
Hey, now come on.
Holding together by rust.
Hey, settle down there.
But it is interesting.
Man.
I mean, I'm a bit like that as well. Mm. You know, my parents weren't into cars, or friends and that weren't really into cars. I think it's maybe like a childhood rebellion thing. You sort of do what you don't see. You kind of want to branch out a little bit and find your own thing. And, you know, some people gravitate towards cars. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's certainly what I found.
Because I'm the opposite. My dad, I had no choice. My family, the Nicholsons, were just like, everyone was into cars, and that's just it. And if you're not, then you can leave, basically. Look, it's a noble pursuit, isn't it? So you've got a real interest in classic cars in particular, or...?
Everything, but I love 1960s cars, personally. You know? I have a Volkswagen Beetle, which was a family thing. You know, I grew up, we had just moved out of air-cooled into water-cooled VWs, and I was totally devo that we didn't still have an air-cooled Volkswagen. We had a rubbish new Passat, which was probably now cool, but then was not cool. I just didn't like it, you know. But
yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's probably something that comes from the family thing.
Yeah.
But 60s cars are the ultimate, I reckon.
Oh, really? And would it be a dream to, like, have a collection one day?
Well, I have three.
Oh, well, that's a collection, isn't it? What constitutes a collection?
I think more
three.
Than two is a collection.
Three.
So
three.
What are the other... What are
I
the
have
other...
two. I've only got two cars, but if you had three, I'd have a collection.
That's true.
I think what are they?
A small Beetle, medium, HR Holden Premier, and extra large 1963 Ford Galaxy hardtop.
Oh, wow.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Covers a size range.
Which I bought in Melbourne. So that was my present for myself for coming here.
Yeah, right. Oh, wowzers. God, I hope you've got a big garage to put these cars.
No.
No.
There's no garage that fits the Galaxy, mate.
No. And the Premier, my uncle had a Premier when we were growing up, and it was the luxury version of the Kingswood from memory.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's like what the Berliner or the Calais is now.
It's like a Calais.
Yeah.
With button seats and wood veneer and an optional two-speaker AM radio in my car.
Oh, wowzers.
Lots of velour.
Is it column shift?
No velour. Carpet on the floor, though. It is. It's a column manual.
Column shift, yes.
Three on the tree, no synchro mesh on first.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Not the easiest thing to drive in the world, but,
no. You
know, a challenge to master.
That's my favourite kind of gearbox, I tell you.
Really?
It really is.
I'm scared of those. I've never driven a three on the tree, and I don't intend to.
No, fun.
Really?
Yeah. Great Ocean Road, let me tell you.
Oh, God.
Well, you've only got two geese to pick from, so it's
So how do you find, like, have you upgraded those in any way for kind of creature comforts that you would expect in a car now? Like people would air conditioning or, seat belts, that kind of thing.
In the Galaxy I put seat belts. Yeah. I ordered lap red ones from the US that look like the originals, but... You know, it doesn't have aircon, but it has power steering. The Holden, I stupidly hid a stereo underneath the dashboard in the 90s and put speakers in the front doors, which I really absolutely hate now. And the VW has no radio, nothing, like just a steering wheel and seats and one armrest. You know, it's sort of...
So you just...
Listen to the engine.
Yeah, right. That's probably a good thing. It's, you know, it's taking it back to the good old days where you didn't have those options. And you could do that, or you could be one of those people that sticks their iPod into their ears while they're driving and can't hear anything that's going on around them. Do you, Nathan?
No, I used to sit an old 80s cassette deck on the back seat, though, when I was younger, and put tapes in it and play from the back seat, hoping that you didn't have to hit the brakes really hard and wear a rather large stereo in the back of your head.
You too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's exciting. What was your first car?
A canary yellow 1980 Mazda 626. That was handed to me by my auntie and uncle as a freebie.
Oh, right.
They moved next door and had two cars and didn't need them. And I blew the engine in 2 months, I think, putting eight people in it, driving to Macca's from school. And kind of
awesome.
Flat to the floor, wrecked it totally. Yeah.
How many engines did you put in it? I put four in my first car. Can you beat that?
No, it got sold. As soon as it got fixed, it got sold.
Oh, right.
And then I got the next one. Yeah.
Oh, wowzers. No. It might have been a 626. I thought they'd last for quite a while. Those 80s ones?
The doors, from memory, in about the mid-80s, and it was garaged its whole life, had to be re-upholstered because the vinyl peeled open like someone had got a Bunsen burner and blowtorched the thing. And if you patted the back parcel shelf, it just sent this snow dome cloud of powdered...
Asbestos.
Former carpet.
Oh, God.
You know, like it was not made for Australian sun. It really struggled.
And just remember how you treated your first car. The things you did to your first car.
Yeah, that's true.
And did in them, probably.
No comment.
That's a whole other show. It's funny because I think of classic cars and I love 80s design. I'm mad for 80s design. Do you focus on that much in the magazine at all?
I think we're appropriate. You know, we have one thing we call Aussie Original, which Joe Kenwright does, and, you know, he knows everything about everything. And, you know, he takes cars that weren't originally Australian or have some link to overseas and shows how the Aussies improved it or changed it. And we did a Magna a couple of months ago, which everyone's probably forgotten about now, but unless you've been following behind when I'm breathing in the fumes. But, yeah, like, we're appropriate. If it's something cool, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, some Skylines are cool. You know, we still like Skylines.
Absolutely.
We probably wouldn't do, I don't know, Datsun Pulsar or something. You know, not quite.
Really?
I don't know. Mike is a former owner.
I don't know.
Of one of those Pulsars, weren't you? Well, no, you would have had a Nissan. It would have been a Nissan.
Wasn't cool enough to be a Datsun.
Okay. Yes, we were just talking about a little bit excited that Datsun might be coming back, but...
You hear these reports every so often, but...
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before on the show.
Yeah, they crop up, but this one, you know, it sounds...
It's credible. It's like a
somewhat
threat.
Credible.
It's a credible threat.
Yeah.
Datsun might come back. Now, if money no object, classic car, is there something that you would love to own and have in your collection?
Look, it would probably have to be a Porsche of some kind, I think. Mm. Like, new, I'd want a 911. And old, I'd probably want a variant of other 911.
Okay.
But that said, it's so hard to say. You know, if I had enough money, then I could look after a Lancia or something like that that would require attention. I don't know. That collection would be like 20 cars strong, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
And counting.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, would you have readers that are quite I think I would imagine with what you write about, you'd have to be fairly careful because there's fanatics out there that would go, ah, you got that bit wrong. Does that happen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I had one voicemail from a guy who said that we'd done the Australian Buyer's Guide and that what about all those Chevrolets from the 1930s? If you're going to do it right, do it properly or don't do it at all. And then hung up on my phone and I thought, okay, whatever. Like,
wowzers.
We did say it was post-war, but that's okay. You know?
Yeah. All right. So
train spotters keep you on your toes.
You can never please everybody. You just got to, you know, take it with a grain of salt and do as good as you can. It is amusing sometimes.
That's what a comment section is for, isn't it? For people to have their say anonymously but aggressively at the same time. Lucky we don't have one for this show. Oh, no, we do. The text in.
Please don't be aggressive.
Please don't be aggressive, we beg of you. And a modern car, is there a modern car you would have? Would that be a current 911 or the new 911?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Everyday supercar.
And if it was something I could afford, you know what? I'd probably buy a V8 Commodore and put an exhaust on it like a massive bogan because I'm from Bogan Town by the sea and, you know, it's an Australian thing. It's, affordable, a ute maybe even. Ah, there you go.
Here we go. Young Brian over here has a... What's yours?
It's an XR50 ute, Tim.
Okay.
Oh, 50th anniversary Falcon.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah. How's that going?
Excellently. I did have to take it into the shop last week, but other than that,
apart from that, it's fine.
Stellar.
Yeah.
No, just a fuse blew on the lights.
Oh, bugger. So is that the competition? That's not a competition from Maloo?
Oh, hell no. No. Because that might very well be my next ute that I get.
From Ford to Holden, which I'm sure we will talk about shortly. Yeah. That's it. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, talking about lots of classic cars and soon to be talking about Bathurst. Nathan Ponchard is here from Unique Cars.
Yeah, no, I was just asking what might be the best car in total that you've ever covered since being editor at Unique Cars.
We did it. It's kind of like a two-car comparison test on late 1930s French cars, a Bugatti Atlantique and a Talbot Largo. They're not things that I actually saw because it was done in Europe, but they're $4 million plus each. That's what they're worth nowadays. They're just mobile art, really. They're just breathtaking. Like, you know, it wouldn't matter if you didn't care about cars. You couldn't help but fall in love with these cars. They're just absolutely beautiful.
Right in the Art Deco type.
Total styling. Art Deco on wheels. You know, the engines are so all hand-built, and just you look at it and you think, well, you would need to be a multi-millionaire just to keep these things going. That, you know, obviously well beyond anyone's reach, but, yeah, beautiful.
So tell me, what's the most unique of all unique cars that you've ever featured?
We're about to run a Gaz Volga, which is one of those Russian cars from, it's an early 60s model, but it was a post-war Russian vehicle styled on a Chevrolet, an early 50s Chevrolet, but, you know, I've seen it sitting next to a Holden, the engine's so high in it to try and clear Russian roads, and, you know, it's trying to be a whole bunch of different countries of car, but seeing Russian writing on the instruments and that is really
upsetting.
A Gaz Volga. Is that what it's called?
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's the best name
I've ever heard. I know a bloke like that.
Yeah, exactly. Gaz?
Volga.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Volga. I've heard Gaz. A whisper. Yes, lots more coming up on the show, of course. And talking about before, Bathurst, guys, did we watch it?
Snippets.
A lot of it.
Like I was saying, I wish there was a telly over there in the corner because it looked like the ending was pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
Coming down, you know, a matter of milliseconds.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Which, considering it's a 1,000-kilometre race.
Wow, this is it.
Was it milliseconds?
It was less than a second.
It generally is.
Yeah. It was on that, the feed from the V8 supercar thing. It's, you know, obviously it's petrolhead paradise today, though. We all know a lot of people. I think Brian, you've just come from a barbecue.
I have.
Celebrating
the
great
barbecue.
Race. A BB.
For Bathurst. I love how the UK people say it's Bathurst.
Bathurst.
Yeah, two H's.
But
we all know that people go out in the hill and they start, last Monday it was, I think, and start barracking for Holden, barracking for Ford, and having to leave the mountain to get a slab every 2.5 hours or
exactly.
so. And then coming back and then hoping that GT has won the race. But
this is the thing.
But all that parochialism aside, it's, to me, it's an amazing just the V8 supercar series in general is amazing. Mm. You look at the size of, like, most touring cars across Europe are a lot smaller, and you know, these big giant V8, you know, based on Falcons and Commodores, they're enormous cars, and it's pretty unique.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a worldwide following for a reason. It's, there's not really anything else remotely like it.
Well, this is what I was saying to you before. It's funny, on my Twitter, and I follow a lot of the car kind of publications and stuff overseas, and they're all talking about Bathurst. And I was like, I just didn't think outside our little island anyone would give a flying toss. But apparently they do, and it's massive.
It's one of the hardest races in the world with regards to...
In the world.
With regards to technical ability, corners at speed. I mean, you're doing some corners at 303, I think someone was clocked at today.
Isn't that crazy?
303 kilometres an hour going around a corner.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've done that.
Yeah. Just last weekend. But it is fairly gigantic, and I remember I used to watch the British touring cars, or the Dustbusters, as my dad would call them.
2 litres.
Yeah.
I loved them.
I thought they were great.
They're
fun.
Excellent.
Little buzz around.
Dustbusters, that's a catchy name, though, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. You can use that, I'll allow that. But, yeah, there's something very special and slash, I don't know, it's a very masculine thing, the old Bathurst. It's very, you know, fairly butch. And you've got to pick a side.
You do.
And do we have sides in this room? Can I ask? Dare I ask? Ford or Holden, Mike?
Oh, I'm a Ford man.
Okay.
Mm.
Really?
Oh, yes. Ah. What side of the fence are you on, Ponch?
Holden as a kid, now I don't care. Both.
Yes. Okay. Brian?
I really don't care, but on these events, I generally go with Ford.
Well, you do.
Just because I have
Ford.
One. That's all.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I couldn't give a damn.
Well, I have both, so I've got to go for both.
Well, that's true. It's funny, though, because I grew up, my grandfather had a Holden dealership. Our family has been Holden. But I'm the same. These days, I'll go for Holden. I'll say I'll go for Holden on these things. But as far as looking at cars to buy and that kind of thing, then I swing both ways, guys. Okay.
Heard that.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. But we would love to hear from you guys. What have you been doing for Bathurst? Have you been celebrating? Do you care at all? We want to know. We would love to hear from you. It's Bathurst Day and you're listening to Fender Bender. Thank you, Sia. Clap your hands, clap them yourself, I'm busy, okay? You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. It's lovely to have your company, and we are joined by Nathan Ponchard today for special commentary and just generally to talk bollocks with us. So thank you for that.
No worries.
Yeah, we're talking about Bathurst. It's all been happening. We know, so it's Garth Tander, who is the winner?
GT.
Now, we were talking about this before, I don't know about you guys, I don't really know who's who anymore. Because I kind of stopped being really, really interested pretty much after Brocky died.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. Mm. I watched qualifying yesterday and I only recognised sort of a handful of names.
Yeah.
So you don't know the Enforcer, you don't know the Giz.
I know the Enforcer.
You don't know
Russell Ingall.
You don't know Snowy.
Who are these?
Is that Mark Winterbottom? Frosty.
It's Frosty.
Snowy.
Frosty the Snowman. Get your nicknames right, mate.
Wow.
I was just picking up, just making sure everybody was on the same page.
Just testing.
And you are. Well done.
No, but it is one of the things, like, every year I watch Bathurst, but I don't follow the supercars week by week or, you know, race by race. But Bathurst is kind of like Melbourne Cup. It's the one horse race a year that you watch. It's the same thing, you know. You kind of can't help but get a bit into Bathurst.
You'd think so.
And you're reminded, just like I was saying before, how amazing the touring cars here are.
Yeah.
But it is one of the interesting points I always think about is, you know, there used to be more than just Fords and Holdens. You know, you used to have a whole bunch of cars racing. You know, the most memorable in recent times was the Nissan GTR, Skyline GTR.
Godzilla.
Which took out Bathurst in 93.
I think it did. Didn't it do it?
1 and 2, I think.
Mm. Yeah, it was a couple of times.
2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And there was quite a bit of...
Who was the driver?
Anger about that.
Well, Jim Richards and Scaife won it the second year.
See, it's Scaife. Shake his fist, Scaife.
Yeah.
Didn't the crowd abuse them because they won it in a Skyline?
That's exactly what happened. And then it was Jim Richards who turned around and basically said to the crowd, "You're a pack of assholes."
Mm. Which went down really well, as you can imagine, because you call a big crowd of
bogans,
inebriated bogans, that, and they like it. they really like it.
And they didn't have alcohol restrictions back then, either.
Well, they still like him, so
this is the thing.
But water off a duck's back.
It's a fair point, though. The way that it happened, I mean, it's a competition. They're in it to win it, and that car was clearly by far the best car to do it at that point in time. And I think it's a bit. I like the fact that it's Ford and Holden, but I actually think it's a bit sad as well. I think I would be happy if they opened it up and had a bit more competition. But I don't think that either of those car companies would allow that to happen.
Well,
I tell you what, there is an exciting prospect. You could have it all locally made cars, which would mean you could also have a Camry.
You could imagine, because Lexus made V8s, so there's no reason why Toyota couldn't participate.
That would add a whole new level of excitement.
And Nissan also have V8s from their Acura Rangers and Infiniti Rangers, so. There's no reason that the Japanese couldn't be involved in this. I just think it's become too parochial.
Or the Germans. Mercedes and BMW V8s, Audi V8s.
Oh, yes.
You know, that'd be awesome.
You might get a crowd with, you know, wearing open collar suits.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It would change the demographic, wouldn't it?
It would certainly add an air of tension to the races, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine the fenced off areas and big dividers.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
But you know, the Australian motor, the market here is obviously really wide open, and people are not. It's not just about buying an Australian car and it's Ford or Holden anymore.
65 brands. There's a lot happening.
So why don't they kind of reflect that in the racing? That's my own little personal view.
It's your own little take on it. I like it.
Do you remember the other car that they had as well, just before, I think, the GTRs, was the Ford Sierra, which was from Europe?
That's a giant killer. That's probably one of the most successful Fords in all of Ford racing, really, in terms of rallying and track racing.
The whole
Sierra
shebang.
Was an absolute monster. It's killing turbo Volvos. Remember the Volvo station wagon that they said had no more lag than the sedan.
Good thing about that race car is when you used to crash it, you know, at 300 km an hour, you wouldn't get hurt. It's a Volvo.
Yeah, that's true. Safety first.
Exactly. But, and aerodynamic.
Yeah, but the Sierra's had a bit of there was a bit of controversy around them for the same reason, because they kind of came in, but there wasn't a car that you could buy here.
There is this attitude like a usurper coming in from outside and stealing our race. You know, there's this real attitude about it, which is kind of I don't know if it's always been the case.
It's very Australian.
Very Australian, with a Y.
Yes, it's very Australian, but it is, and it's, you know, I don't know whether that's a good thing, but it did look like, those cars I didn't really like very much. I thought they looked like a taxi, a European taxi, which they probably were.
Tuned by Cosworth. I mean, they had some fairly serious horsepower.
Yeah, they could do the job, but...
But it was a new generation Cortina with a wing and a turbo.
Wow.
And the Europeans did cheat one year with fuel, so that's why Australians hated this year.
How did they cheat?
Okay.
I don't know, but they
bowled underarm or something.
Eggenberger won about in the late 80s. I'm sure it got disqualified at the end for some fuel cheating.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well.
That's awkward.
Yep. Bye-bye, Sierra.
Yeah. Ta-da. It's very interesting. I'll tell you what else is bizarre, though, watching a bit of it today, is that hearing the surnames Johnson and Moffat.
Yes.
And I think there's a Richards. I don't know if he's driving today.
Stevie Richards, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's quite interesting, obviously, for people out there who are unaware of this. There's a second generation of drivers from fathers who would drive when I was just a twinkle in my father's eye. So it's... What's Moffat's son's name? I can't remember
James.
His name. James Moffat. Stephen Richards and Stephen Johnson? Are they both Stevens?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing well, Tim.
I know, right?
Following in
my memory.
Wow.
I'm as old as the hills. But that's very exciting for people, kind of, and that's a good way to kind of keep people from a new generation watching it and all that kind of thing. I think they're doing reasonably well.
At a barbecue and you're listening, just, you know, let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're on the mountain and you're listening, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
God, imagine
if
people...
that'd be surprising.
Listening to Fender Bender.
on the mountain. That would be surprising.
That would be awesome. Or if you're just on a mountain. Doesn't matter which one. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a Mount Panorama. I can't... Words! You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Talking Bathurst and many, many other things. It's been a huge day. Garth Tand has won, and that's pretty much it, guys, as far as Bathurst is concerned.
Did catch on flames.
That was amazing.
Yes.
So that was Bernard. How do you pronounce it?
It's Bernard.
But it looks like Besnard.
It's Besnard.
I understand.
It's a sneaky S.
It is.
It's sitting there, but it's not doing anything.
Okay. Well, that confused me.
Yes.
Huge.
But
I
didn't see it, but you were saying before it's an extremely dramatic kind of.
Yeah, it was like something. It literally looked like a scene from a movie, and he punted off by anyone. He was at the top of the, I don't know what the corner is or whatever, but it was at the top of the mountain. He'd gone smash into one of the walls, and you could the sound before the camera got to it, you heard the sound of the crash, and it was actually frightening. Then they showed, they went straight to the car and had a look at the car, and it was just completely destroyed. And then there was this amazing vision of, and this is why it looked like something from a movie, of flames that creeped up to the car and looked like it was going to blow the thing to smithereens.
But there was a happy ending to the story.
There was a happy ending. The marshals were amazing, and there were two fire marshals that came in and you know, blew away the flames with their little fire extinguishers. And the driver, Besnard slash Bernard slash whatever, got out seemingly unharmed. But it stopped the race for a while, or at least slowed it down. And, yeah, very... very dramatic, guys.
It was awesome.
Well, let's be totally honest. I mean, you know, crashes are a big part of any race, from NASCAR to touring cars to F1. I mean, obviously, you don't want people to get hurt, but the spectacle of a fiery crash is so dramatic, and you know, it's always the part of the tension of a race, because you never know, this could just be around the corner.
This is the thing, and there've been some huge crashes over the years there, obviously, as well. I remember Dick Johnson when he was in his green Falcon. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And he went into the bushes for a bit of an adventure, and was stuck there for some time.
Just testing the off-road capacity of his car.
Dick by name. And there were a few other Bingles in this one this year, but they had by the time I saw kind of halfway through, and they'd already had the safety car out, I think, five times.
It's a windy circuit.
It is.
It's a windy circuit, and they're going to crash.
It's true. It's just going to happen. And it did. Lots of crashes, but that's all right.
Predictably.
But it's all. Nobody was seriously hurt, so it's all lovely, and very big congratulations to Garth Tander and his team, who obviously do a very good job in what could be quite scary circumstances at times, I'm sure. That's about it from us, guys. Oh, look, you know, there's some other stuff we could have talked about, but we thought we'll leave that for next year's show. But, of course, Nathan Ponchard, thank you very much for being here.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anytime. And big thanks, of course, to Shannon for the news and Jerry on the phones. Thank you, of course, to the boys that are always here, Mike and Brian. Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, it's a pleasure as always, Tim.
Oh, look, I love it. I love it. And I love you guys, you know. You're my brothers. You're my bros.
Peace out.
I'm blushing.
Peace out. Don't forget to like Fender Bender on Facebook. Go to Fender Bender Joy, or you can find us on Twitter and follow us there. And we'll be posting lots of things like that photo
Datsun
of the...
Datsun stuff.
Yes, Datsun stuff and the hideous / amazing Nissan Juke.
And we'll try and find footage of this fiery, fiery crash as well.
Absolutely.
There's probably something up on YouTube.
Look, I'm sure there will be at some point, yes. Thank you again for listening. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. I'm Tim Nicholson. Safe driving.
Find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.